your Bibles with me tonight to Luke chapter 13. Tonight's message is one of those state the text and straightway depart therefrom. So if you will, read along with me as I state the text, and then just a few seconds from now I will state straightway depart therefrom. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite! Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? When he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. The interpretation of the text is quite simple. Here is a woman who has had some type of physical problem. Maybe it's rheumatoid arthritis, possibly some type of calcification of the bones, osteoporosis, or something along those lines. Maybe there was a tumor on the spinal column. Maybe if you ask Dr. Scott, she just needed an adjustment. But for whatever reason, she had a problem with being able to stand upright, and had her old bowed over for a period of 18 years. And one day, as Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath, she happened to be there, and seeing her, he had compassion on her, healed her, and one of the rulers of the synagogue got quite upset with him because it was a Sabbath day. According to Jewish law, and not biblical law, but Jewish law, there were many more restrictions on activities of the Sabbath, and according to this fellow, healing on the Sabbath was not permissible. To which the Lord said, well, it's only reasonable. You would do the same thing for an animal. Isn't this woman much more worthy than an animal, being a daughter of Abraham? And having said that, he exposed the hypocrisy of this ruler, and the people rejoiced. Having concluded my message, not that fast, I want to ask the question tonight. This is one of those situations that were commonplace in the ministry of the Lord Jesus concerning the Sabbath regulations. He was accused over and over again of violating the Sabbath. The question that I want to ask and answer tonight is, must Christians keep the Sabbath? Is the Sabbath regulations of the Old Testament binding upon you and I today? And to answer that question, I will simply take you back to the institution of the Sabbath day regulations. Now, obviously, not all the restrictions are found in this verse, but nonetheless, the commandment to remember the Sabbath is here. And I will tell you point blank that within the screen that's behind me is a definitive answer as to whether you and I are required to observe Sabbath day restrictions. And you're looking at that and you're saying, okay, Pastor, where in the world do you find it? Well, let's look at the verse. Take it apart a little bit. First word that we want to look at is the word remember. This Hebrew word has the idea of contemplating, giving thought or priority, thinking over intently, to give meaning to something. It's not just a quick recall of something that, oh, it's the Sabbath day, that type of thing. But it's the idea of considering it and recognizing the priorities of it. Well, that doesn't really tell us whether it's continuing or binding upon us or not, so that may not give it away. Second thing it's consider is the words Sabbath day themselves. In biblical times, and especially Old Testament times, calendars were kept from sundown to sundown. A day began at sundown and ended at sundown. Sabbath began Friday at sundown, ended Saturday at sundown. Well, in our reckoning of time anymore, days and begin and end at midnight. So the time frame has changed a little bit. And you say, well, maybe that gives it away. Well, whoever gave man the authority to change time or the reckoning of it? No one really did. So maybe mankind has gone astray. But that really doesn't give it away either. Well, then the last thing is to keep it holy. It's interesting, in the original language, this is just but one word. And the idea of it, of this one Hebrew word, is to consecrate. In other words, to set it aside as something extraordinary, as devoted unto God or fit for the service of God alone. In other words, the verse here is saying, give thought or priority to sundown Friday to sundown Saturday as a period of time that is especially devoted to the worship and service of God. Now, as I said, what's behind me on the screen tells us definitively whether that's binding upon us today. And you're saying, Pastor, I still haven't seen it, but it's up there. It's not in those words. It's in that. One of the things that we must remember about Bible interpretation and application is this little saying: all Scripture is written for us, but not all Scripture is written to us. Exodus was part of the Mosaic Law. It was given by God to Moses as he stood on Mount Sinai with his tablets of stone, and it was given to the people of Israel. It was not given to the church. If you will talk to a Seventh-day Adventist or a Seventh-day Baptist or any of the Seventh-day varieties that are out there, they come back to this verse and they make a big deal of it, and saying that if you read on, it says that the Sabbath regulations are given to your people for all generations. And therefore, because it's given to all generations, as the church has succeeded the nation of Israel, therefore it is inherited by the church and it is binding upon the church today, and that Sunday worship is out of bounds, for it is the Sabbath that is required to be kept. To which I answer this way. I ask usually the person, if we get into a discussion about these things, if they pay taxes to the nation of Canada. And of course they say, well, no, they don't pay taxes to the nation of Canada. And I say, well, why? Canada has laws on its books that its people must pay taxes. And they say, well, I'm not a citizen of the nation of Canada. Say, okay, well, do you pay taxes to Germany? Well, we go through the same thing. How about Brazil or any other nation that's found in the world? And they all come back and they say, no, I'm not a citizen of that country. I'm an American. And I pay taxes to the United States of America. And I say, exactly. This was given to the nation of Israel. It does not pertain to the church. The church does not succeed the nation of Israel, for in time God will once again return to dealing with the nation of Israel. The church is not inheriting those things. In fact, the 1 Corinthians chapter 10 makes it very clear that there is a distinction between the Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God. One are the physical descendants of Abraham, the unbelieving physical descendants of Abraham. The other are unbelieving descendants of Ishmael or any non-Abrahamic descendant, and others are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a clear distinction. This verse of Scripture plainly states, because it's given in Mosaic law, that it does not pertain to the church. And we are not under its requirements. So therefore, must Christian keep the Sabbath? The answer is a definitive no and yes. Wait a minute, Pastor, I thought you said it doesn't pertain to us. Well, there is an application of it. The Lord Jesus over in Mark chapter 2 said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Why did the Lord, and here goes another one of those questions, why did the Lord make a Sabbath regulation? Well, it says it was made for man. Therefore, there was some necessity that man had of a Sabbath day restriction. It's necessary for us. And regardless of dispensational periods of time, man has not changed. The basic biological, medical structure of man, emotional structure of man, spiritual structure of man has not changed over the ages. And therefore, there still is a Sabbath need for you and I. Now, the church has rightly changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. The original Sabbath regulations were given commemorating the Lord ceasing from His labor of creation. The Sunday worship of the church commemorates the Lord ceasing of His work in salvation with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the day change is appropriate, but the Sabbath needs still remain the same. Tonight, what I want to give you, that is the benefits of the Lord's day keeping. Originally, in my composition of this tonight, I had the word Sabbath up there, and I said, well, it's not a Sabbath. There is no such thing as a Christian Sabbath. The Sabbath is still the seventh day. We are on the first day of the week here. This is not a Sabbath. But it is the Lord's day. And there are two basic benefits of keeping, of remembering the Lord's Day, of putting a priority to it, of contemplating it, and setting it aside as something special. First is this, it provides a unique opportunity to worship. Now, on any day of the week, I can sing praises unto God. And every day of the week, I should sing praises. Now, maybe with my voice I might want to sing them very quietly, but nonetheless, I can praise the Lord on any day of the week. I can close my eyes and bow my heart before a throne of grace and present my petitions there and obtain mercy and find grace to help in my time of need on any day of the week. It makes no difference. I can open the Word of God, and by the Spirit's enablement, I can hear a message from God on any day of the week, and so should I. I can, on any day of the week, and should on every day of the week, be involved in the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And may I say to you, no matter what it is that you're doing, whether it be any menial task or significant task, it makes no difference. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians that whatever we do is to be done unto the glory of God, even whether it's eating or drinking or sleeping. But Sunday provides a unique opportunity for worship, an opportunity that we have at no other time during the week, for it is a time when the people of God come together. It is a time that affords a unique opportunity to meet with God. Now, like I said, I can meet with God at any point in time during the week, but there is a unique sense of God's presence when the people of God are congregated together that you will experience nowhere else. I understand that if, you know, you're sick or something along those lines, that you have a legitimate excuse from being in the assembly, that certainly you can turn on the radio or turn on the TV or put a cassette tape in the player or a CD on your CD player or whatever the case may be and hear word from God and worship in those ways. But there is a unique opportunity to meet with God. Now, I am not going to depart from the text altogether. This woman experienced a unique opportunity to meet with God. It was because of her presence at this place of worship that she received the miracle of healing. I did a little study, quick study, this week to find out how many of the Lord's miracles were done on the Sabbath day. I found of all the miracles that he did, six of them specifically were done on the Sabbath day. Matthew chapter 12, there was a man with a withered hand that was healed. Mark chapter 1, there was a healing of a man with an unclean spirit. Here in Luke chapter 13, this woman with this back problem was healed. Luke chapter 14, which will be in just a couple of weeks, a man with what's called dropsy was healed. John chapter 5, the man at the pool of Bethesda was healed, who was impotent. John chapter 9, the boy that was born blind was given his sight on the Sabbath day. And I say to you, there is a unique opportunity to meet with God in ways that simply you won't have any other way. Secondly, it affords a unique opportunity to meet with the people of God. We are here as a family tonight. Now, during the rest of the week, we're somewhat separated from each other. Oh, we get together a little bit. Sometimes people have birthdays and they throw surprise parties for them. You just never know what's going on. We have the opportunity of picking up the phone. A prayer chain item comes through and we pass it on through a prayer chain. I can go to my computer and with the click of one button, everybody that's on my email list can be contacted with a message. And we can communicate that way. Certainly we can get together for times of limited fellowship. But there are some ways that just can't be accomplished apart from the combining together and fellowshipping. There are times when we need someone to reach out and put an arm around us, to give us a hug, to a pat on the back. And you can't do that with an email. You can't do that with a telephone call. There are times when you need a little bit of exhortation, not a pat on the back, but a kick in some other hinder part. And you can't do that over the phone. When we get together on the Lord's Day, there's a unique opportunity to encourage and exhort one another. Thirdly, it affords a unique opportunity to exercise one's spiritual gifts. Each and every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior is invested with at least one spiritual gift. And it doesn't matter whether that gift is one of the more popular ones, such as teaching or preaching or anything along those lines, or one of the more behind-the-scenes gifts, such as showing mercy or helps or something along those lines. In order to exercise a gift, you must have someone to exercise it on. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 that the bestowal of gifts was for the profit of the body. That was chapter 12. They weren't for personal use, to exalt oneself or to puff oneself up, which is what the Corinthians were doing. But gifts were given for me and whoever possesses them to minister to somebody else. And it's when the body comes together that we have unique opportunities to exercise those gifts. You know, if we don't come together, the work of God will never get done. It's absolutely necessary. I want you to look at this lady and think about her for just a moment. And see what value she had on Sabbath worship, what she gave it. Now, here's a woman who for a period of 18 years, we have no idea how old she was. She could have been 19 years old. She could have been 60 years old. We have no idea. But for 18 years, she had this physical infirmity that made it absolutely impossible for her to stand upright. Think of this woman as she would come into the temple or into this synagogue for worship. She's not here so I can talk about her. But I'm only going to say good things. I marvel and I thank God every time I see Pauline Auld come in this building. As I was studying this, I could not help but think of her. Now, the disease is not exactly the same. Pauline is simply that she's 94 years old and her legs don't have strength in them anymore. But she puts a priority on her worship. And she literally exhausts herself to get here. And I think this poor woman in this passage here did the same. She put such a high priority on her worship. Can you imagine? Now, I don't know what the synagogue service included, but suppose it was a service like we have here on a Sunday morning. I want you to rise for this hymn. She said, I can't do that. I want you to sit down. I want you to rise, and I want you to go and shake hands with everybody. And this woman said, I can't do that. They'll have to come to me. I want you to sit down. I want you to sit through 2 hours of preaching. And everybody said, I can't do that. That's okay. I'll be done in a minute. But she was there, I would imagine, Saturday after Saturday after Saturday. And Larry, it wasn't a coincidence that she was there when the Lord Jesus Christ happened to show up. May I ask you, was she better off when she left than when she came? Was she richer when she left than when she came? Was she exhausted when she left or enlivened? And yet we struggle to put a priority. Now I'm preaching to the choir because you put a priority on it. As I was thinking about this, I believe the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, because oftentimes preachers want to complain about those who don't show up. And I have to remember to be excited about those who do. And I want to commend you tonight. I don't want to complain about those that are not here. I'll save that for next Sunday morning. But I want to commend you for being here tonight. You've put a priority on worship. And I believe that you will go away here richer than when you came in. You've had a unique opportunity tonight to meet with God, to meet with one another, and to exercise your gifts. Secondly, keeping the Lord's Day provides a necessary refreshment to the body. Back to our text. Here this woman had been healed. Verse 14, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Now, he answered with indignation because he had taken what was biblically correct and extended it beyond what was necessary. Because that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Up to that point, he was absolutely correct. In fact, the Sabbath regulation said, for in 6 days God created the heavens and earth, and on the seventh day he rested. So man is to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. Which, by the way, if you don't understand, the 6 days of creation is 6 24-hour days. Makes a mess of how long you have to work before you can take a break. That's beside the point. He was absolutely right. There are 6 days in which to work, and God himself rested. Now, was God worn out? No, because God, as a spirit, does not get worn out. But even the Lord Jesus, in his perfect, sin-stained body, had physical limitations. We find him sleeping on the back of the boat because he was exhausted. We find him needing food. We find him needing drink. We find him emotionally exhausted in the Garden of Gethsemane. Man was created with physical limitations that sin has even extended beyond what they originally were. And God said, there was a necessity. Sabbath was created for the man because man has a physical and emotional need for it. We are to work 6 days and rest on the seventh because we need a day for this body to recoup. There have been studies done as to expenditures of energy. I heard about this some time ago and I took note because they said 1 half hour of vigorous preaching is the equivalent of the average man's 8 hour work day. Well, I took note of that because I'm saying to myself, well, we have 1/2 hour of Sunday school and, well, we'll say 1/2 hour Sunday morning and 1/2 hour Sunday evening. Well, I just worked 3 days worth of work. And you know what? Mondays, I feel it. Mondays, I usually wake up, and being a morning person, when I wake up, 10 seconds after my eyelids open, my feet hit the floor, and I'm almost overdrive. I'm in high gear anyway. And I go for, maybe 2 hours on a Monday morning, and I'm just raring to go. And after 2 hours, I think a truck ran over me. A couple of weeks ago, when Jeremy was here, and I only had the Sunday evening message and Sunday school to prepare for, I got up Monday morning and I was taken off as usual, and afternoon came and I was still going. I said, what's going on here? Usually I'm dragging by this point in time. And I remembered, hey, I didn't have a message to preach yesterday. My body needs Monday as a day of refreshment. Doesn't need sundown Saturday to sundown Sunday. It simply needs a day of refreshment. And there is benefits to doing that. If I am to be, and if you are to be at your physical best, you need a day in which just to collapse. Besides that, there are certain emotional distresses that each and every one of us, no matter what our age, what our vocation, what it is that we're about, we all endure. There are deadlines that need to be met. There are weights that are loaded upon us, burdens to bear that weigh us down, and we need a day where we can come apart so that we don't come apart. And Sunday's a good day to do that. It's wonderful to come together in a place like this and worship God and be encouraged spiritually, and to leave here and to go home and have something to eat and then take a nap. How many of you took a nap this afternoon? No NASCAR, right? And in just 5 weeks, we leave NASCAR behind and we turn to the NFL. And we forget all the stresses and we shout for the Steelers or the Eagles or whoever you want to shout for. And let loose a little bit. Then come back and be refreshed again in the evening. It makes it possible to get through the other 6 days. God created a Sabbath day, a day of rest, because we need it. It's necessary. Now, what's the benefit, or what's the outcome of all this? When Jesus answered this ruler of the synagogue and set him straight, look what the result was. Verse 17. All his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. When we put a value on gathering together for worship, we encourage one another. To be quite honest, it gets a little discouraging sometimes, especially in the summer. Now, I know summers people go away. I in my head, I know all these things, but when you look out and you see a whole lot of people gone, you ask yourself the question, is it really worth it? By your regularity of attendance, you people keep telling me it's worth it. And you keep telling everybody else. But let's just say the Hosempas don't show up next week and fail to show up. Now you've got me leading music. Now you're really going to question, is it worth it? And the week after that, because the Hosempas aren't here, the Hokes say, well, you know what? If the Hosempas aren't going to show up, we don't have to show up either. And the week after that, the ladies in the row behind them say, well, you know what? We've got something else going on. We're not going to go either. And all the time, this side saying, maybe next week Kathy won't show up and we'll actually win. Did you read the thing in the bulletin this morning? We're either part of the wrecking crew or the construction crew. But not only do we encourage one another, but I can guarantee you there are at least four or five families that are sitting right around this church that take notice of how many cars are in the parking lot. And may I say to you, possibly one of our greatest avenues of witness is simply showing up on Sundays. Mr. Muffy will see it. Mr. Carnahan's will see it. Mrs. Deemer will see it. Mr. King over here will see it. Glenn, who's the next one up? He'll see it too. Devin, yeah. And they'll also see when, hey, not too many people over there tonight. Must not really be worth it. The detractors were ashamed when a poor little old woman started rejoicing and praising God and the consistency of worship. And the people that were there rejoiced also for all the glorious things. God bless you, folks. Keep it up. Let's pray. Father, tonight, while we recognize that we're not under the law, we're not citizens of the nation of Israel, and all the restrictions of sowing and reaping and kindling fires and all the things that come with the Sabbath, and even the regulation of sundown Friday to sundown Saturday does not pertain to us, we also recognize that you graciously provided a day of rest and worship for us. Father, I thank you for each and every one that's here tonight and the fact that they put a priority to this and they see it as something that is necessary. And Lord, I know that they're going to receive blessing tonight, that their bodies will be refreshed physically and emotionally and spiritually. Father, I pray that in the days ahead, because the times are that there are so many things that will distract us, sporting events, activities on Sundays that were never scheduled before or are seemingly now being scheduled all the time, and the temptation to, oh, miss a Sunday here and miss a Sunday there, and will always be there. Father, help us to recognize the priority of this day of the week. May we not forsake it. We might even speak to the families that live around this church building, that they might see that we put a value and priority upon the worship of God, and may it just bring conviction to them, and maybe even give us the chance for it. Sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Father, dismiss us now by your Spirit and watch over us as we travel to our homes. Refresh our bodies tonight with a good night's rest. Should the day dawn tomorrow, we might be about those things that are pleasing to your in your sight, and accomplish that which will accomplish your will in the world around us. And we'll praise you for all these things as we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.